Good morning. I'm so glad you're here this morning. It's supposed to get warmer. It's going to, right? But it's warm in here, right? God is good, and I hope you've had a great week. I hope that that you've experienced a moment with God, that you can just, you're ready to be here this morning to just share in that moment. You might not give a testimony, but your song, your voice, your attention to God's word is your testimony this morning. This Wednesday, we had Ash Wednesday, and it signifies the beginning of Lent. And it's something that I've challenged our church to participate in this year. We have books, and these books are right outside there. If you don't have one, I encourage you. They're simple daily devotions. They're not very hard. I can read them and understand them, so you should be able to, too. Okay? All right? I got a couple. Yeah. All right. So I encourage you to do that. We have 42 days of Lent left. And if you didn't start already, I encourage you to start. And what Lent is an opportunity to focus on your relationship with God and usually fast something during that time. Right? Now, Jesus gives some rules for this. And if you can, Jackson, you up there, you listening? Can you give me the... I think it's the fourth slide. We're going to skip. All right. All right. Good job. This is out of Matthew 6, 16 through 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face and show others they are fasting. So don't go on Facebook and tell everybody that you're giving up Facebook. All right? This is between you and God. And before I read the rest of this, I equate it to this. There's things between me and my wife that stays between me and my wife. Anybody else understand that? Right? I think this is one of those things that it stays between you and God. It's not for anybody else. And I think that's an amazing thing that God has designed for us because he wants that intimate relationship with you. Let that sink in first for a second. That God desires to know you personally and to have something personal just with you this morning. That should blow you away. Because this God is in charge of everybody and everything, and he wants to have an intimate relationship with everybody. And it's not just this cast a wide net moment. Our God is big enough to have an intimate relationship with you and you alone. That's how big our God is. And he loves you that much that he wants to make this moment between you and God, between him and you. Nobody else. Private. Have you ever had those jokes with somebody and you're telling that joke and it's definitely an inside joke and somebody comes up and you're laughing and having a good time and you're like, man, I wish I could be part of an inside joke someday. Right? Imagine within a relationship too that you have with somebody that on the outside people are like, man, they look healthy, they look happy, they look like they've got it together. Imagine having that with God and the world sees that with you and they're hungry for it. There's something different. Well, during this next 42 days, God, we are going to practice that. To have a moment where each day, whatever you're giving up, whether it's food, whether it's social media, whatever it is between you and God in that moment, whenever you're desiring it, guess what you're supposed to do? Not do it and spend that time focusing on God. Allowing God to work on your heart, allowing God to invite in your heart, allowing reading his scriptures, being in prayer and silence. Can you imagine just praying in silence and just listening for his voice? It's a hard thing to do in relationships, right? We all want to put our voice in there. How often do we allow God to have his voice in our life? This is that time to allow God to speak to you, to allow God to move things in your life that need to be moved, to allow God to sift through the stuff and go, okay, I've got this. You're good. All right? Let's read the rest of it. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that you will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Man, it's cool stuff. It is between you and God. All right? And I challenge you to do that. That's like step number one. Step number two is just following through. Right? And just doing it. Listening for God, spending time with God. The next 42 days, this should be like 365 days, right? We should be desiring this, but it's hard sometimes, and I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It's our days get busy, our days get frustrating, and the world overwhelms us, and there can go days, weeks, maybe even months where we have not spent time with God. This time, we want to focus. Whether it's the moment you wake up, mid-afternoon, before you go to bed, focus on God. Can we do that? Okay, maybe not. All right. We're a quiet bunch today. It's okay. All right. This Sunday, last Wednesday, we did the ashes. And I'm leaving them up here this Sunday. I might leave them up for the rest of the time just to remind us some things here. That first off, to dust we came, to dust we go. That this body has a time limit. Some of us understand that a little bit more than others, right? And we woke up this morning, oh, right? Anybody else? All right. Right? Like, we have a time limit on this. Sin came into the world and ruined it. Death was invited into that moment. Pain and agony was invited into that moment that sin came in. And we've been dealing with sin ever since. The amazing thing during this Ash Wednesday is to realize God sent his Son to experience the same thing with us so he could take upon all that sin. So he understands death. He understands life. He understands sin, and he took it for us. Amen? All right, that's love. That's love that you're never going to ever really truly understand until that moment that you come to face with him. And you get to experience like love that you've never seen, never tasted, never. We get little glimpses here. We feel the Holy Spirit move, right? We understand it to a point. But it's so beyond us. But we're going to spend this time, this month, is to sacrifice for us and loves us, despite our humanness, despite being filled with sin, despite being broken. He loves us and repairs us and redeems us. It's pretty cool stuff, isn't it? God is good this morning, isn't he? All right, all the time. Man, did we not wake up today? Woo! All right. Deep stuff, I know. God is good. I'm excited to be here this morning. We're doing a new series called, and I'm going to go back a little bit, Abide With Us. And that'll be this whole Lenten series that leads us up to Easter. All right? So you get to see Abide With Us. And we're starting this Lent series with a theme called Forgive with Abide With Us. All right? And what it looks like to forgive, what it is to be forgiven, and first off and foremost, I want you to know, if you have not understood that God has forgiven you, I want you to know, God has forgiven you this morning. You just have to accept it. It lays at the cross waiting for you to receive it this morning. And if you don't understand why we do the cross, we do the cross because we understand that Jesus took and bore all sin, everything that we've ever done, every corruptible thing that has come out of our mouth, every corruptible thing that will come out of our mouth, every action that is against what God has designed, guess what? Jesus died for. Praise God, right? So we are no longer held accountable to it the moment that we hug that cross and understand what the cross did for us. We have been forgiven. And it's a forgiveness that we don't deserve. It's a forgiveness that we can never beg enough for. It's just given freely. Okay? So this morning, if you feel like you are no good, if you feel like you don't live up to the standards that God has set there, I want you to know that needs to be alleviated because God's grace is sufficient. Amen. That God's grace is real and He loves you right where you're at. Amen. Do we believe that? Yes. Now, I will tell you, the moment we receive His grace, the moment we understand His grace, then there's this call to go beyond that. We are pushed forward. We are asked to live more what God has designed us to be, and we can only do it through God. And we're going to talk about what it looks like to live out forgiveness. All right? And one of the words that I'm going to focus on before we get going is, before I even say, is there something that you might be called that you would be truly, truly offended? And don't say it. Just sit it there in your mind because it might be really bad and it's not appropriate for church. It's not appropriate for any time and it would be really offensive. But if there's something else, like if I were to go up to you and like, you're such a cheater, you're a cheat. Would that get some of you? Let's fight. How about a liar? If I just came up to you, you're a liar. You probably wouldn't like that, right? Cheapskate. Like those things, like you can sit there and reside in your mind and your heart and what you think that will sit there and be like, that would just ruin my day, my week, my month. I would focus on that and I'd think about you, like punching you moment, like I'm sitting in quietness. I think, I can't believe they said that to me. They're lucky they're not in front of my car today. Right? Is there stuff like that, or are you just too easygoing that nothing ever bothers you? Not human. Anybody not human today? All right, so we're all in the boat there. So we're good. All right? I want you to know there is a word that was said that would make the skin crawl of people. All right? Let me find it. It's not hypocrisy, it's hypocrite, but it's that word, all right? Now, this word might still mean something to you. If I were to go up to you and like, you're a hypocrite, you might be really offended, you might be, you know, but I think we have come to a point with this word that we're like, yeah, we deal with hypocrisy, we deal with it. I know I'm not perfect. I know that I'm called to live a better life. Anybody else? Like you wake up and you're like, man, I hope I don't say something wrong today. Because boy, I could be tempted. I want you to know, I was that, like, I had a day, I don't know if I slept wrong or I just didn't sleep enough. But man, I woke up Saturday and nothing was wrong. Nobody did me wrong. I just wanted to be mean. Anybody else ever have that kind of day? Like, you just woke up and I'm like, I just want to say something that you're just asking me a simple question. Get off my back! Like, right? It doesn't help when you have, like, 15 teens over at your house till 10 p.m. and you just want to yell at them. That was not the Super Bowl. That was fun. And I did yell at teens for fun. Yeah. All right? I probably got a reputation. I'm all right with it, all right? But I just had that day, like, everything that Michelle, and she was saying it kindly to me, and I was like, and I tried to hold my tongue as much as possible, and she's like, what's wrong with you, right? I'm going to be so honest right now this morning. Yesterday, she picked up tons of pizzas for us, right? And, like, when we pull into the garage, it gets kind of tight. Right, and I'm watching the Illini game, so I'm already angst, right? I'm already full of, like, I don't know why, I get really excited at Illini games, and most of the time they just make me frustrated, right? It's just my heart. Pray for me during that time, right? She calls me during the game, it's less than 2 minutes left, and who knows if they're going to win. It's really close. It's in that period of like they could just choke it, and I just feel it. Ah! She calls me. Hey, can you come take the pizzas in? What? Why can't you carry the pizza in? I didn't hold that in. It came out. And I instantly knew, oh boy. Right? We just have those days. And God comes in, He loves us despite us. We have our moments of hypocrisy. We have our moments of being hypocrites. I want you to know, back in the day, though, being called this was not a friendly thing. Being called this was not something that you just resided on, like, yeah, I am, I'm broken. No, this wasn't a thing that you're like, yeah, I'm okay with it. Right? It was offensive. It was calling them out. It was telling them they're doing wrong in front of everybody. How fun would that be on a Sunday that I just sit here, I know your dirty little secrets, and I just start, you can't do that. Can you imagine that kind of Sunday? Would you want to come back? Right? This is one of those moments. I mean, he's praying. He's telling them how to pray. He's telling them how to fast. And one of the first things he tells them to fast, don't be like them hypocrites. They make it all about themselves. He wasn't mincing words there. All right? And I started thinking about this when it comes to forgiveness. And I really want us to flip a switch here to understand something of how important this moment of understanding in Scripture is. All right? I want us to go back to Matthew 6, 14 through 15. You see, he just taught them how to pray. And at the end of that prayer, he tells them how, you know, like, you ask for forgiveness and you also need to forgive your trespassers, right? Right? So you get that sign off your lawn if it says, get off my lawn. It's okay. Right? Because this is the thing. Right here. He goes into further detail about this part of the prayer. He doesn't focus on any other part of the prayer but this. He gives an explanation, and this is Jesus, all right? For if you forgive other people when you sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And let me help you with the idea here, right? This idea of being forgiven, to sit in this seat of being forgiven, is a gift when it comes to Jesus. Because we don't deserve it. We can never earn it. It's given freely. Can you imagine living with that gift and walking outside of this door this morning, holding on to resentment and grudges of other people? Can that coexist? And you know what? Jesus answers this in a parable. I love it. He talks to, I'm going to read it this morning. Bear with me. I didn't put it up there this morning. But you can find it. You can follow along with Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And what you have right here is Peter, and he's talking to Jesus, and he's asked him, how many times should I forgive somebody? Seven times? This seems legit. Imagine if you had a clicker of how many times you forgave somebody, and you're like, okay, you're on your last one. This is the sixth time. Do it one more. Do it one more. Dare you. All right? Click. Done. Never going to forgive you again. Right? Imagine, like, I just have that thought process when he's sitting there asking him. And Jesus says, no, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, that's a big clicker. That's something, like, I don't want to hold on to that card. And Jesus is being facetious here. Understand? Like, I love Jesus. Like, he uses sarcasm. I love it. He has some humor to him. And what he's saying is, listen, No matter beyond just seven times, beyond 77 times. Forgive, live a life of forgiveness, because if you do, then you can understand and live in the forgiveness that I am giving. All right? So let's go on. Jesus loves to tell parables. It's stories in which it's able for them to understand within their culture, okay? And he tells this story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he, his wife, his children, and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. As the servant fell to his knees before him, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything the servant master took." Oh, pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Now, anybody have debt? I hear laughs. Can you imagine going to your banker and be like, "I can't pay it"? And they say, "Don't worry. Listen, we'll cancel it all." How many would be like, I'd be clicking my heels as I walked out. I'd be like, "Woo-hoo-hoo! Freedom!" Anybody? It'd be a great day, wouldn't it? Be a wonderful day. Like, this last year, what did we get to do? We got to say that we don't have a mortgage to pay off anymore. Right? It's an amazing thing that we don't pay a mortgage anymore. And it's not because we're just not doing it. We paid it off. All right? I feel like I got to let people know. It's a nice and relieving thing. I want you to know, this is a thing as a pastor that it's a test of some sorts when you sit in a board and you have two announcements during this time to say, "Hey, we don't have a mortgage to pay." And the next announcement going, "Hey, somebody received Jesus Christ this morning. They gave their life to Christ." And what I love to see is the comparison of the cheers. Do you understand? This is dust. I'm going on a little sidekick here. This is not part of the sermon, but I want you to understand, my house is dust. The things that I own is dust. The souls that God redeems is for eternity. Somebody accepting Jesus Christ is getting more cheers in heaven than a mortgage being paid off. That should be our first priority as believers. That should be, we should be thrilled for one. We should be thrilled for 50. We should be thrilled that God is working through us as a church and people are experiencing His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness through us. I want you to know the world doesn't care we paid off our mortgage. They care to see how you live out your life authentically for Jesus Christ. They do. They want to see it. They want to feel it. They want to know it from you. Now, I'm not knocking that we paid it off, but it's our priorities that need to be set in stone. And that's what's important, right? God is good this morning, all right? All the time. All right, guys, woo! All right, we got this, all right? We're good, all right? Now, let me finish this. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will repay you back." But he refused, and instead he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master and everything that had happened. I want you to know, This is more prevalent than you think. I think we live in a way that we are owed this in some ways in our thoughts, in our hearts. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you're not owed this. God loves you despite you. That's a harsh statement, I understand. But God loves you, not because of anything you could do, or there's no talent, there's nothing like that. There's nothing there that will just, there's no favorites. God just loves you. And you can't do anything about it. You can't improve it. He just loves you. That, first off, that should be freeing. Second off, the moment you understand that, it should change how you look outside of this from this point on. It should change how you see, how you act, how you engage with people. Because if he loves me so much, guess what? He loves your neighbor so much, no matter what they say or do. And you're called to too. You understand that? This is I highlighted this part. I love this part. I encourage you to highlight that. Then the master called his servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had towards you?" In anger, this master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back what he owed. Now, this is huge here. Listen to this. Please, if anything, hold on to this morning. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Can you change any words in there? You can't play around with that. "But God, you don't know what they've done to me." Yes, I do. Yes, he does. God has experienced so much more rejection, so much more hurt, so much more pain than we can ever understand. And he still does today. But he loves us. He forgives us. That's powerful. I want you to know, you, this morning, there might be something that you're holding on to, a grudge, a frustration, and it might be legit. It might be the most horrific thing in the world. I'm going to tell you this morning, God can handle it. He is big enough this morning. And maybe it will take God and you to work this out, to let him handle it, and you let it go. Now, I've given this sermon before, and I have had people come up, "Ben, I want you to know, I want to forgive, but does that give permission for them to continue to be the person that they are to me?" And I'm going to say right now, absolutely not. It's not. Boundaries are okay. You can even forgive in silence and just move on. Right? Our God is big enough to handle it. God will go to it. But I will tell you, maybe there's some things too that you need to go and ask for forgiveness of this morning. That you know you've done something, said something, you were like me yesterday, and you're like, "Man, just whatever. It was just an itch, and I just wanted to say it, and I couldn't help it, and now today I get to live with it." I have a choice. Ignore it and let it just fester, and it's probably, it could ruin her. And I could let it go. And I think I'm fine. But that's something that will damage her from that point on. Do you know that just me going, listen, those words came out of, hey, I don't know where they came out of. The devil was in me yesterday. Lord, forgive me. I needed it. I woke up on the wrong side, and boy, I needed to be slapped. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I think we need to practice that so much more. Imagine practicing that kind of attitude at work. In those moments that you're annoyed with coworkers and you don't share the love and grace that is shared with you, and then the next day you go, listen, my heart, even the thoughts that I had, I want you to know, please forgive me. I wanted to murder you yesterday. Right? Imagining having that opportunity to sit there and understand my God is bigger. And I don't want to be held to the same standards of this world that justifies, well, you're okay with being mean and angry because of what they've done. You know what? The cross shows that we are not. We need to learn how to forgive even the most unforgivable things that the world holds on to. And some of us, it might only take God to be able for us to do that. With Lent, I begin with this because I think it's important, because it's an attitude for us to understand. First off, it's not even just a request, it's a demand from Jesus. Do you understand that? It's a way of living that he has called us out. If we're going to accept his forgiveness, guess what we have to do? We cannot be hypocritical and hold on to an unforgiving heart. We have to step outside of this and be willing to forgive, because our God is bigger, right? So when it comes to living a forgive life, don't be hypocritical. Don't just receive it. Give it. Live it. Seek it out. Be one that is living out forgiveness on a regular basis. Be one that seeks it. Be one that does it. Be one that is just... when people acknowledge you and see you, they can tell a person has been changed. The cross lives within their heart, and that cross symbolizes the ultimate forgiveness of everything that we are. If you remember, what are we called to pick up daily? Our cross. You know what that cross is? Letting go of all this stuff and being freed by him. I was going to tell you some stats, but I just want you to know, science has proven when you forgive and you let go of stuff that you become a healthier person. I love it when God and science work together. It's pretty cool. To know that when you carry the baggage and you hold on to it in that hate, guess what? It starts to come out. It starts to affect who you are, and it just changes your health. It changes who you are. It makes you a miserable person. God doesn't want you to be miserable today. He wants you to be free from it. If you're holding on to something, seek out forgiveness. Seek out giving somebody forgiveness this morning. Don't hold on to it. Be right with God today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Dear Lord, whatever weight we carry, whatever justifiable thing in our mind that we hold on to and just can't forgive, Lord, this morning we beg for your grace, we beg for your strength, we beg for your ability to help us let go and forgive. Maybe this morning, Lord, we need to seek forgiveness from you. We have lived a distant life. We've done things that you know, that we know, is not healthy in our relationship with you. Lord, I pray that we seek out forgiveness this morning. May we not take your grace in vain. May it change us. May we desire to be more what you have called us to be. May we step out of this building this morning and desire a real sincere relationship with you. May we know that we are truly forgiven this morning. May we feel the freedom of that this morning. And may we live that freedom out with others, dear Lord. May we free people of their guilt. May we free them of their pain. May we free them of all that they have done to us. And may we live out what forgiveness is this morning. Maybe this morning we need to seek forgiveness from somebody. Lord, we pray for courage for that. We pray that your strength helps us through that. Lord, you call us through moments that are trials and moments that can hurt us and be frustrating, but we are called to walk through them with you. And sometimes seeking forgiveness is that trial. Give us the courage, give us the strength, give us the ability to go and seek that out this morning. Lord, may we spend time with you. Help us, show us where we are hypocrites, and help us change. Help us live a forgive life. We give you all the praise this morning. Amen. You're dismissed.